a view of what they've gone through in the last 2 hours.
Well,
I'll put that money to good use.
What would you do with the money?
I'll put some of it to charity for hobos.
Yeah, I can't argue with that. But here's the thing, Henry. You know what I need the money for? More teeth whitening. I'm married to a woman that really, really insists on white teeth.
If you have some laughing gas, you can knock my teeth out. to have 32 teeth.
Ask your mommy where she is right now.
Where are you?
She needs directions.
Wait, where are you? You're coming up on Columbus.
One more block.
You're going to want to turn left on Montgomery Street.
Yeah, the next block.
Turn left on Montgomery Street.
The next block. Tell your mommy the next block.
Next block.
What time is it?
We have 3 minutes. They actually might make it.
I don't think they're going to make it.
They might make it.
Nah, they're not going to make it. Nah, turn left on Montgomery, and it's on. It's.
Come on, please, can you hold the time?
It's five.
It's 40.
Henry,
40.
Henry, you're learning a very valuable lesson. You're the richest man in your school, not monetarily. But you now know how life works. You have that advantage over your friends.
I know.
What a great, great lesson. You're always going to remember this. You're always going to show up on time. You'll be very punctual the rest of your life.
He might make it.
So, if I don't make it, I'm still going to come to the studio.
Hey, Henry, you're going to make it.
Yeah.
You're going to make it. Are you on Montgomery Street, Henry?
Hey, Henry.
I'm not on Montgomery Street yet.
Hey, Henry.
You're not on Montgomery.
No, we're at a red light.
We're at a red light. Oh, that's too bad.
You still have a minute.
Anyway, we'll
a minute. 2 minutes to go, Henry.
2 minutes to go.
You can make it, Henry.
Okay.
Tell your mom to drive carefully.
Okay.
Hey, listen. Will you wave to me? I'm going to be leaving in a few minutes. Will you wave to me as I leave?
Okay, I'm going to tell you. Whether or not, I'm going to be hanging around for a few minutes.
No, I really have to go. There's a mandatory staff meeting here, so I have to leave. But I'm still here for now.
Mom said I could do some of the homework at the studio.
I offered that you and I would
homework.
Do Henry's homework for him.
At the studio?
In order to try to get them to come, I told Wendy that you and I would do Henry's homework.
Did you make a left on Montgomery?
My mom.
Are you
said,
on? Ask your mom if she's on Montgomery.
Can I say it? Okay. What?
Ask your mom if she's on Montgomery Street.
We're still at the red light.
Oh, that red light.
Yeah, it's a long red
light.
That's
called the $120 red light. That's what we're always going to refer to it as.
Oh, just turn green.
Oh,
you can make it, Henry.
Listen.
I just turned.
My mom said you're a J.
I'm a J?
No, Mom said Andy's a jerk.
A jerk, yeah.
Jerk.
Well,
she hardly even knows me.
Henry, I bet your mom, Henry, let me ask you a question. Your mom doesn't call many people jerks, does she?
No, she calls.
Have you ever heard of?
She calls bad drivers jerks.
Okay. Bad drivers.
Well, that's me.
She calls inappropriate people jerks.
Uh-huh.
She calls a lot of people jerks.
Yeah. It's not a very exclusive club.
And same time.
Wendy's jerk list is a very, very long list.
Mm.
Okay, what block is she on?
What block are you on?
We're past the post office.
We just got onto Montgomery Street.
Okay. Tell her we're past the post office on the right. It's three blocks.
You're past the what on the right?
The post office. Go past the post office.
We're past the post office on the right.
And then it's above Liberty Realty. You'll see Liberty Realty.
And then it's right above Liberty Realty. You'll see Liberty Realty.
Very good, Henry. You're doing an excellent job.
And...
I'll see you as soon as you come to the front door.
Okay. And I think
do you have
I
your
think,
do you have your tooth with you?
I think knocking teeth out of Hobo's mouth is a good idea.
Yeah, I know.
You think it's a good idea?
We're gonna have a great marathon.
Yeah, I know. I watch the show every single chance I get.
You listen to 7 Second Delay?
I think he means Monk.
Oh, Monk.
Yeah, every single time.
Oh, good. Oh, that's nice of you to say.
And Henry, you like the new Sharona Natalie?
Yeah, I really like it. It's funny.
Yeah, she's funny. Well, I'm going to tell her all about you. I'm going to tell her how I almost met you.
Okay. And my birthday, April 29th, 1995.
Okay. And
Henry, why haven't your mom said you had a whole bunch of teeth? How come you haven't given them over to the tooth fairy yet?
Wait a minute. Where are we? Oh, we're getting out of the car, right? See me?
Okay, no, you better hop out.
Bye.
I see you.
You do?
What? He's here.
No. Well, he's late, though. Ken, he's late.
He's a little late, but
he's 2 minutes late.
The theme song's still running.
That's not the rule. That's not the rule. He's late.
He's not late. The theme song.
He's late.
No, he's not late.
You played the theme song too often. You played it. You kept repeating it. Don't let him in.
He's in the building.
Don't let him in. What did you do? Ken, what did you do?
Oh, no.
Ken, it's 3 minutes after 7. He's never going to learn. We had a chance to teach him a real lesson.
We're almost here.
Oh, I'm sorry. Listen, I've got to go. Where's my coat? So we'll see you next week. No.
Andy, I bet you left the door to the hotel then.
What did he say? Bet I left the door.
It was some kind of gloating. I'm not sure exactly what he said, but it was clearly gloating.
Andy.
Oh, he's never. Are they coming up the stairs?
He's on the phone. It's great. He's on the phone running up the stairs.
Oh, he's too late. Ken.
No, he's not. The theme song is still on.
That's not the rule.
It's Robert's Rules of Radio. If the theme song is still on.
Well, you've been hitting repeat. Lock the door.
What's the repeat?
Lock the door. Ken, Andy. Seriously. Ken.
Andy.
Yes, ma'am.
That is totally uncool. Totally uncool.
Oh, I know it's uncool. There's
You're
no dispute.
You're going to see him in like 30 seconds.
There's no disputing whether it's cool or not. I will grant you it's uncool.
I'm going to start thinking of things you can do for next week.
Oh, good. See, this is what we needed.
I've been over. Oh, he's crying.
No,
we got him.
He's crying.
Oh, he still can make it. Oh, no. Oh, he's making it. The song's still playing. Oh, he's
talking,
made it.
Talking to the microphone.
Hey, there he is. How are you? Oh, I'm so.
Great.
Oh, you did great. Do you have your teeth? Oh, I put you through back. Oh, I'm so sorry.
Henry, talking to the microphone.
Great.
Oh, Henry, it's so nice to meet you. I'm so sorry I teased you on the mic. I'm so sorry you're crying.
Get him on mic, Andy.
I totally freaked out.
I am so sorry.
I totally freaked out.
Oh, God, forgive me. I'm never going to heaven. Here, you're the one kid that made it before the end of the theme song. Your mother is your hero, isn't she?
I feel like
darling. Oh, you're the greatest. Here's $120. What are you going to do with it? That's twice what you thought you'd make.
I'm going to put it to good use.
Okay, some is going to charity?
Yeah.
You thought you'd only make $50.
Yeah,
because you made $120.
I can't believe it.
You made it. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
What are you going to do? That's a lot of money. You got to save some of it.
Yeah, I'm putting some into my money for the Nature Place. The Nature Place is such a fun camp.
Oh, you're going. Oh,
you better count
camp.
That money because Andy sometimes has been known to cheat little kids.
Listen, Henry. No, it's all their kid. I wouldn't cheat you.
There's 100 here.
No, there's not. Why are you saying that? 20, oh, geez, no, there's not.
It's the old shorting.
20, 40, 60, 80. Yeah.
Go, 80, keep going.
80,
keep going. 100 and...
20.
Only 120.
Oh,
listen.
Andy just slipped in the missing 20.
No, I did. But listen,
Andy just slipped
all
in
all I'm asking you
the
this
missing
is,
20.
Henry, will you do me one favor? Do you pray sometimes, like on Sunday or late at night? Do you pray?
Hey, what's this?
That's a 20.
It's
That's a
fake,
real 20.
It's a fake 20.
It's not a 20.
No, it's not a fake. Henry, it's
like, he's going to cry again.
Henry, it's
a real 20.
No, it's
real.
It's real.
You know why?
Yeah.
On real 20, only on real 20, there's these little 20 marks. On fake 20, there's no 20 marks.
It's a real 20. It's 6 real 20. Henry, you've got to promise me, next time you're praying to the God of your choice, will you ask him to forgive me? Will you ask God to forgive me for putting you through heck today and making you feel bad?
Yes.
Henry,
okay,
don't you think so?
Thank you.
Henry, are some people beyond forgiveness?
No.
No, God bless. No, says Henry.
You got the right kind of kid.
I feel like no one in the world, even criminals are
beyond.
Are better than Andy.
Yes. Oh. Criminals and Andy are not beyond forgiveness.
Okay.
You are the greatest killer. You are a godsend.
Thank you, Henry.
Thank you, Henry.
Thank you so much.
Enjoy your $120, and I will keep your teeth. How many are in here?
Two.
$4 tonight.
And Henry, do you want to do the official station ID?
All right. We've been listening to a classic episode of 7 Second Delay from March 2005. When Ken and Andy totally freaked out little Henry. Join them live for another show next week. And stay tuned now for Why? Oh, Why? This is WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope in Rockland County at 91.9 FM and online WFMU.org. Today on the show, meet a guy who I met on the internet.
This is going to sound, maybe you should just cut this part, but like, this sounds super braggy, but like, I'm a six-figure, 32-year-old lawyer that lives in New York City, right? And I work on women's health rights and, like, access to medicines for people in, like, sub-Saharan Africa. Like, itself is not scarce. People like you are, though.
Hear how we magically transitioned from dating to friends. Can I keep that in?
I don't know.
Can I please use that in my radio show?
It's your show, man.
My heart is beating, beating like 8 o'clock. My heart is speaking, you can hear it talk. Beep, 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 beep. My heart goes beep, beep, beep. Beep, 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 beep. My heart goes beep, beep, beep.
A few months ago, I was riding the L train. It was late at night, on like a Thursday, and I was coming home from a date with my headphones on and that stupid first date grin on my face. This guy walked up to me and he said, "How's your train ride going?"
So the subway is your preferred way to go from one place to another?
Well, when there's like a bridge or a waterway involved, probably.
Yeah. Where were you coming from? Where are you going to?
Well, I think we came from
a bar.
Yes.
Well, yeah. Originally, and then we went to a subway.
And now are you going to a home?
No, another bar.
Another bar?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So let me guess your stop. Are you getting off at Lorenberg?
Oh, that's a bold guess.
Well, that's not our destination stop. It's our next bar stop.
How many bars will there be tonight?
Who knows? You know, it's unpredictable.
Yeah.
Where have you come from tonight?
I just went on a date.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Was it like an OkCupid date?
Mm-hmm.
How was that?
It went really well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I'm really excited.
Was it like one of the better OkCupid dates?
Yeah, it was way up there. We went to, he suggested us, we went to an astrologer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so we had an astrology session.
So did you have
was it done in jest or seriously?
Well, we kind of did it in jest, but then we took it really seriously.
Oh.
I learned all of his flaws, and he learned all my flaws. I learned he has mom issues, and he learned, stuff about my personal life.
That's quite a first date.
It was really good, yeah. Awesome. Do you guys have girlfriends?
For, a week now.
Okay. I have, I guess. We date.
We all got so close on this one date.
Uh-huh.
That's a pleasure. Good job talking to people.
Are we going to Bedford?
Well, we can just stay at Lorne. We can get off at Lorne.
Just to keep talking with me?
It's equidistant.
You're not going to get my number. You should just go off
No, don't worry. We're not trying to get your number, so relax.
So then why did you want to say hello?
Because...
Why would you just start talking to a girl on the subway? Why do you think I do? Maybe I was listening to a podcast. Maybe I had something...
Fluffy.
Yeah.
What is this?
This is my radio recorder. I have a radio show about dating.
Uh-oh. Wait, are we being recorded?
Yeah, are you okay with that?
Yeah.
That's fine.
This is great. We're being recorded.
Okay, do your shout-outs. Who do you want to say hello to?
I have
Michigan.
You're not dating your mom.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, are you?
Shout-out to your girlfriend.
Her name's Kat. I think it's 2 weeks now.
That's awesome.
But I should know that.
How'd you guys have the talk?
Oh, we haven't.
Then how do you know she's your girlfriend?
You just know.
You went out to dinner? Is that why dinner makes her your girlfriend?
Well, there's a bit more, but I don't know if I'm comfortable saying it on this fuzzy.
That's it? No condoms?
Well, yeah. It's true, too. Too much information for a podcast.
No, it's not. Not for mine. You ever met a girl on the subway?
I did once.
No.
On the G train.
How did it go?
We made out, and then we had, like...
On the train or after the train?
Both.
Whoa.
And then we had, like, a two-week romance.
Okay, Google YOY, and you guys will be on it. YOY podcast.
Yeah, it's been fun. Bye, Subway.
The date I was coming home from that night was with my friend, Chris.
So I'm Chris, and I met Andrea on OkCupid, and I had the great privilege of taking her on two dates, and we got weird.
Yeah, it got weird. And that's today's show. Things got weird with my friend, Chris. So I have a dating profile on OkCupid.
Do you want me to describe it?
Yeah.
It's really short, and it has absolutely no information about you, which actually makes it, it's nice in a way because on OkCupid, there are a lot of cliches on profiles, and so basically every girl at OkCupid wants to talk about how she has, like, the most amazing friends, and she loves to travel, and, she, you know.
Loves to smile, love and life.
Exactly.
Such a foodie.
Right. And so Andrew's profile said none of this. And instead, she put the bio of Kim Jong-il on as her self-summary. And then you have pictures up. There's at least two, I think, of you, like, on the job.
But I don't really have a lot of photos of me. That's not... Is that...
No, I have the same problem. Yeah, I think it's hard to... I mean, who wants to take a selfie?
Never. I've never wanted to in my whole life. And every time I've done it, I felt horrible after it was over.
Well, then there was that report that came out recently where they were, I forget, some health organization was talking about how selfies are leading to an increase in lice. Because, like, I don't know, because people put their heads together when they take these selfies. So...
It's so gross.
But then there was I've already told you this, my favorite picture of you, which is you're holding this, like, little dog.
Not my dog.
Right, not your dog. Much smaller than your dog. But you look really good in it.
It's the only photo that, like, is kind of my whole face, and I don't look crazy, and I'm not just smiling in a fake way. I think it's
you're
like
not
an okay.
You're not like smiling at all.
Oh yeah, I think I'm not. Smiling.
It's like a very sultry. Right, the highlight of the picture is your lips. Right, it's a very sort of sultry. I'm not gonna smile at you.
Just listening to him describe it makes me feel embarrassed. My minimal profile is a tactic. I just want to be as invisible as possible on that website. Because of how much harassment you get while on it. It doesn't give a guy like Chris much to work with. So your first message to me, if I remember, was like making fun of me for not having anything on my profile.
It wasn't intended to make fun of you.
It was really mean.
There was a compliment in there.
Let me find it. You said, there's only one dictator that could possibly be the bio of. Not quite sure what to make of that with the shortage of contextualizing info in your profile. It's either hilarious or frightening. So why are you sticking it to the OkCupid man by not filling out the entire profile? You're really putting a lot of eggs in the, I'm beautiful, I don't need words, basket. Do you want to read it in your voice?
I don't think me reading it actually improves anything about this.
Are we
bad.
Gonna have to read this at our wedding? Red flag.
It's I don't know.
Hypothetically,
like,
any message you send a girl could be read at a wedding someday.
Yeah, I'm aware of this, but I don't. At the time, I don't think I sound as stupid as you just made me sound.
Oh my god. Okay. So so you said that and I instantly took it very personally.
Right.
That you're like upset with me for not giving you anything to work with and just like and you're saying like you're just relying on your beauty here and you're not even trying to date people.
See, it's funny because from the start we had some communication issues. Because in no way, shape, or form did I actually mean what you're... Why would I message someone to, like, berate them about their OkCupid profile?
I took it as negative feedback.
Yeah.
That you were saying, change the way you are. Change your profile right now.
Right.
And you meant it as, I'm just trying to come up with something interesting to tell you.
Right. And I wanted to tell you that you were pretty.
Oh. Okay. So then at that point, I just replied, so what if I am?
When was that actually your voice? Was it that?
No, it was a little more hostile. It was like, so what if I am?
Okay. So I guess I wonder why you even responded in the first place then.
I feel like I was putting you through another test. That's how I thought of it. I looked at your profile, and you seemed, like, smart and interesting enough where I'd enjoy a conversation with you. Like, for sure. There was not a doubt in my mind that if I met you at a party, I'd be interested in you, whatever. And I looked at your photos, and I think you're incredibly handsome. So I was definitely interested, but I was not interested in dating someone new at that point. So I was like, I'm going to make him kind of, like, work for it. Because I am unsure if I want to go for this. So I just want to see how much effort he's going to put in. Because if you could impress me in the message exchange, you were going to get a date.
Well, the way I remember our messages is that this is actually not the first test that you put me through.
No, I tried really hard not to go on a date with you. That is true.
You did.
For someone who seemed perfectly nice and incredibly handsome, I just wanted to just, like, push this off as far as possible.
But that was, I mean, I you know, I can feel you on that, right? Because it was for, you know, personal reasons, right? Like, you have things that you want to pursue.
And really, I was spending every moment that I wasn't at my job really working on the show. I stayed in, like, 3 weekends in a row, just very focused on making YOY possible, so.
Yeah.
I wasn't ready for more.
Well, and that is actually one of the things that, like, really, I think, appealed to me about you. Because I'm, like, you know, very much the same way. I, like, work way too much. And, yeah, I don't go out on enough weekends. And I think it's always nice to kind of find, like, you know, someone who likes what they do, you know, as much as you do, right? Like, I do, you know, I don't stay in because I hate my job. You know, I stay in because I love my job. And I think it's always really nice to know that there are, like, other people, you know, out there that feel the same sort of way.
Yeah. And once I started to get to know you, I realized we had, like, you have a lot of career hotness. And I also felt like we had kind of, like, in terms of our intellectual interests, we had a lot of compatibility there. So, yeah, I was wooed, but I wanted to kind of keep you on hold. So I asked if you wouldn't mind going out. I think when I finally, like, offered a date, it was, like, a month from when I said it was going to be. So, wait, when I kind of said, like, are you free and on a Thursday a month from now? It's just so New York City, right?
Right, right. Well, and the I think the one of the things, though, about having, like, a very specific date, though, is, you know, we all have certain insecurities, and I think that, you know, if you, right, I felt like you were giving me a lot of time to, like, blow it.
So basically, I have this perfectly nice guy who I'm planning to go on a date with in a month, and I am looking for every reason not to go on a date with him. And then we followed each other on Twitter, and I found the detail that I could obsess over. He posted a picture of his cat, Simon, wearing a Denver Broncos jersey with a human hat on. The cat does not look happy.
He likes the Broncos. He hangs out and watches every game.
I hated it.
Why did you tell me you thought it was cute then?
I don't know, because I'm horrible, I think.
I mean, that could have been your way out, right? You could have been like, I hate what you're doing to your cat. We're not going on a date.
Because I don't want to be the one to call things off, I took the photo to my friends Laura and Danny. Okay, here it is. He wrote, Simon is a little nervous about the hashtag Broncos, ... And then here's the picture.
Oh, wow.
Who's that woman in the background, though?
I think that's him.
Oh, that's him?
He has long hair.
Oh, no. That's so sad.
Yeah, but in this case, the cat just has, like, dopey features. It doesn't mean the cat's actually sad.
Well, but those kind of things constrict their movements. Are you sure that's not his mom in the background?
I better ask.
And whatever, it's just a little thing. It's no worse than us putting the cat in little bundles of sheets all the time.
It's true.
And they seem to be fine with that. It's no different.
Ooh, but like, I don't know, that cat's not purring.
Animals definitely don't have a sense of branding. So oh, we're assuming that they have a sense of branding.
Now I have a whole other concern, which is that he looks like an old woman, apparently.
I mean, he's sort of, in this photo, so he didn't take this photo. Someone took this photo for him. He's photobombing his own cat's photo, like, creepily, I'd have to say. Look at that smirk. In the corner of his kitchen, like, looking on.
Or he's either holding a kettle or his phone. And it could be take... No, but it's not close
this
up enough.
This also looks like a mom's house.
It does look like... There's a lot on the fridge.
Yeah. And, like, look how many paper towels he has.
This photo's rich.
I'd say give him a shot.
Oh, this is a date? That's not the thing to... I think of all the things to judge in this photo, that's the most innocuous. I think it's the most normal thing in the entire photo.
He has the same couch as us, it looks like.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah, that's exactly right. That's exactly the
so
same.
So judge count. Lest you be judged.
He's got the same computer as us.
Yeah.
But this is just our apartment.
How do you...
There are explanations for things in that photo, I think.
Owning paper towels is normal.
Well, no. That was also taken shortly after my New Year's party. And I had all the supplies I needed. So everyone that asked what they could bring, I told them, bring paper towels. Because it's useful.
You can't. That's so cute.
So yes, I admit that there were more paper towels than I normally, than a normal person has in their apartment.
How do we explain you looking like an old woman?
I don't know. Okay, so this is not the first time. You know, that something like this has happened. Like, I don't have long, long hair. But I have, like, well, right now, it's a little bit shorter. But, like,
yeah,
you know, it's like a man bob, I guess.
I like it. I wouldn't have gone out on a date with you if I wasn't pro, like, you having a man bob. I like it. I think you look like a man. I just have to say that. Well, I think you look like a manly man.
Well, I appreciate you thinking I look like a man. I appreciate you thinking a factual thing about me.
Okay, so I got so obsessed with that photo that I also talked about it on Planet Money.
Andrea had one of the questions that she told us about, which is, sort of a problem about how much information you should get about someone before you go on a date. Tell us the story, Andrea.
So I met a guy in OkCupid, and we have a date planned. But since my Thursdays are incredibly valuable to me, it's 3 weeks out from now still. So we exchange information. I got his full name. I went to his website. I started following him on Twitter. So the more I learned about him, the more attractive he became.
Tell us a little bit about him. Without giving out his full information. Yeah.
He's responsible for a section of the American Invents Act. I thought that was very cool.
Wait.
I am so horrible.
What else did you tell him?
I'm so bad. I'm like, this is the most embarrassing thing I've ever done. Okay. Yeah, he does something in law. But then he tweeted a photo of his cat in a Denver Broncos jersey with like a hat on.
Here, I pulled it up here, this picture. So this is what happens when you research someone too deeply. You come up with this picture.
You there are some truths that just, oh, yeah, the cat.
It looks so unhappy.
Yeah. Here's the question. If you were already dating him, let's say you'd been dating him for 3 months and things are looking pretty good, and then the cat picture surfaced. How would you feel at that point? Would you think, I made a terrible mistake, this must end now? Or actually, are you being very picky before you really got to know him? I mean, I guess I'm asking how serious the cat in, it does look pretty serious to me, but yeah, how serious the cat in the cap really is?
I don't think it's that serious. You're right. If I had more context, maybe his cat loves to dress up. Maybe it, you know, wears the, it keeps it warm. I don't know. He might be able to explain it better in person.
So my feeling is that you do need to find out things about people before you date them. There's a basic safety issue, of course. But you also need to realize that actually all you're getting is very superficial information. This is the kind of superficial information that economists gather about economists all the time. But anybody who ever talks to an economist will tell you the economist doesn't really understand the economy. They've never visited a factory. They don't know what's really going on the factory floor. They've just got these superficial impressions and the superficial data. And it doesn't actually make you an expert. In particular, it doesn't make you the kind of expert who knows whether someone's dateable or not. So my inclination is don't snoop too much. And you really need to value empirical experience. In other words, find out whether the guy's a good kisser, and then you can talk about the cat.
You were looking for a way out.
I was.
Why wasn't that? Why didn't you just take that out?
If I wanted to take the out, I would have taken the out.
Well, okay, so...
I didn't take it because you're great.
But you don't know at the time. Right.
No,
you were
I
looking
did.
For reasons
I
to...
I did. No, you were consistently... Like, any time I tried to push you away, you were so good at being kind and honest back at me. And I really put you through the ringer before we even met in person.
I'm glad that we went through the ringer, right? Like, I don't know about you, but, like, you know, what I'm looking for in life is... to be able to find, like, you know, that person that we can have, like, amazing filthy sex with. But then for the other 23 hours of the day, like, you know, I want to find the person that can be, like, my best friend. And so, you know, long before I met you in real life and thought I wanted to date you, I was already interested in, like, being friends with you. And I think that's a direct byproduct of you putting me through the ringer.
Also, you like it when girls are bitchy, do you?
I do. You kind of treat me like an idiot sometimes, and I love it.
Our next piece of evidence for me and Chris's story is a recording I did about 30 minutes into our first date. Chris likes to plan out interesting dates. So after we'd been talking for a while about astrology, which we know almost nothing about, he suggested that we go see an astrologer. I found a lady named Angel Eyes, and we chatted while standing on her stoop. All right, we're standing at 204 West 7th
East.
Such a mess. We started this date by my this is my date, Chris.
Hello.
We started this date by him saying, "Wow, you're a mess." You really said that to me.
You're making it sound like I don't have any reason to say that to you.
Okay, let's go over what I've done wrong so far. I was like 30 minutes late.
I think a little bit more than that.
I was over 30 minutes late. We're not going to say how much. Could have been an hour. Could have been less. And then I feel like my jacket won't unzip, so I took it off like a shirt. And my headphone cable was all tangled in it, and my phone was in my pocket. And it was all wrapped around the bar stool.
But then you dropped it on the floor.
Yeah.
And then I had to get up and get it for you. But this is all preceded by the fact that you scheduled this date a month ago. So
I also,
you were 35 minutes late for a date you scheduled a month ago.
I know you were like kind of weirded out by me doing this dating podcast, and it's going to be an issue for me going forward. But the ultimate, this is like if I needed like bylines explaining that I'm actually bad at dating, I feel like you could offer me one right now. You want to stand up at the Moth and tell this someday. I can tell.
I think so. We're at an astrologer's house.
This is your suggestion, by the way.
No. Astrology is your suggestion. I just suggested that we should do it together.
It's awesome. I'm so glad we're doing this. So all we know is the number, and now we have to figure out where to buzz. So let me go inside. Stop calling me a mess. Wouldn't it be funny if she was like, you know, the Pisces is more disorganized than the... Do you remember this, all of this?
I do.
What were you feeling right now?
I was pretty nervous, right? So it's not exactly right that, like, the first thing I said to you was that you were a mess.
What was the first thing you said to me?
I don't know. So I have a different picture of how this went down. We met at this place, and I didn't actually see you. I didn't see you do the coat thing the first time. I don't know. I wasn't paying attention, but I also didn't actually see you walk in. I was texting with my friends. So I actually kind of remember just like kind of looking up and turning around and seeing you. And what do you think most of your listeners know what you look like?
I don't know.
So
I'm not hiding what I look like, but there aren't a lot of photos in the online.
Right. Well, okay. So if you don't know what Andrea looks like, she's shockingly beautiful. Right. And, she's got these lips and these dimples, and like the first time, this is going to sound super cheesy.
I really want to turn off your microphone right now.
Why?
But I also don't want you to stop. But like, I'm like really embarrassed.
All right. Well, so this is going to sound super cheesy, but like the first time that she smiles at you it's like one of those like stupid movie moments where, you know, it feels like time is maybe stopped for like a second. Right. Like I ordered us some food because I thought you might be hungry before we went to this thing.
That was awesome.
I have no idea what I ordered, but I do like the image.
You don't remember the pretzel and the.
Oh, it's a pretzel.
Yeah.
So I don't remember that, but I remember like the moment of like the seeing you for the first time and you smiling at me. And like, you know, I don't know. That's super cheesy. But like that's so I didn't immediately say you're a total mess, right?
You did. All I remember is you being like, my friends hate you. You're a mess. Was I more attractive than my photos or less?
Yes, much more. Like you look good in your photos. But look, the time doesn't stop for every girl that I meet. Right. I think that's like what I was saying before, right? Like there's so many, I go on like the not as advertised date like all the time. Right. And that's not just like physically, but like, you know, intellectually and like emotionally. And so I don't know. It's a very sort of memorable moment for me.
This story is starting to sound horribly romantic. Did you just hear him say time stopped?
Time doesn't stop for every girl that I meet.
I scripted that. Just kidding. Actually, as he said it, I climbed under the desk here in the studio and hid my head like this was an earthquake drill. It's hard to hear someone talk like that, who's just your friend. As for me, I felt instantly comfortable with Chris from the moment we met. He's charming. He asks you questions about yourself in a way that makes you forget you've been talking about yourself for so long. He's probably one of the most accomplished guys I know in this town, meaning New York City, and he makes you feel smarter just by proximity. But this isn't the story of how we fell in love. It's the story of how we became friends. And you're skeptical. I don't blame you. I've been insanely skeptical, even down to the wire editing this interview. But let's see if we can convince you in the end. Now, it's time to go on our first date to see the astrologer Angel Eyes.
Just a little musical interlude.
We are inside of her brightly colored apartment.
Hello, I am Angel Idealism of Angel Eye Astrology, and that's I-E-Y-E, not the letter I.
So who's first?
Well, I'm going to do, it's a compatibility
with a clawfoot bathtub in the kitchen and pink, yellow, blue colors everywhere.
As people and how you relate socially and also in one-on-one situations with the, like, well, actually, this is a three-on-one. Woo! It's not group sex. It's not. It's not what's going to happen here in my sleazy Manhattan apartment. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. All right.
How many of your appointments end in group sex? I must know.
None, unfortunately. I'm so sorry.
Until it's like
this is not the 70s, guys. This is not before you were born. Okay. This is not like actually 70s sex was just let's shag. It was that simple. Yes or no. It's there was no texting. Oh, he sent a text with capitals. What does that mean? None of that happened. Okay, so we're going to spend some time talking about your chart first, because ladies first, and then his, and then the compatibility. Does it have to be so close? It's fuzzy. I'm not going to say what that was she's putting in my face. It's fuzzy, but putting fuzzy things in my face. Okay, so now when someone says, I'm a Pisces, very basic sun sign astrology, it means that the sun was in Pisces. You have Libra rising, as do I. Libra rising can make you very pretty, very flirtatious. Across from the ascendant, rising sign is ascendant, across from the ascendant is the descendant, and the descendant is how you show up in one-on-one partnerships, relationships, okay? So you have Aries on the descendant, as do I. So that means you want kind of a rough and ready, aggressive partner who's going to get down to business, okay? You're not the... See, it's a little complicated for you because you have stalker chick Venus. Should I say that in a deep voice? Stalker chick Venus.
What's that?
Well, we'll talk about that in 1 second. I'm talking about your descendant right now. So that's the type of long-term partners. The fifth house is like... lightweight romance. We're not quite there yet. We're going to go for the guts and the glory, the serious partnership. So now Aries descent, that means Mars, Pluto are the rulers of your seventh house. So that means you want a really intense, action-oriented, real kind of guy, like a man. And you might want a partner who's a bit younger as well. So you're an intense lady. You know, again, Sun and Mercury in Pisces means that you can be very gentle and very sensitive and very mellow. But when you go to love, when you go to you're like, you know, whoa, here she comes. Watch out, boy, she'll chew you up. Whoa, here she comes. She's a man-eater. She likes to bite. Yeah, Andrea, you like to bite. Now, how many people are listening to the show? What do you think?
A lot.
Okay.
And yeah.
So a lot of people know you're a passive aggressive stalker chick. And you like to bite.
She gets into a lot more about me, about how I chase partners and like to be chased. She talks about what I like in bed. She kept saying that I have a crazy. Let's just skip ahead to Chris's reading.
You definitely are a think outside the box kind of dude. You're not, yeah. And you could be quite brilliant, actually. Sun conjunct Uranus. Yeah, sure. Brilliant flashes of insight can make you somewhat erratic, kind of all over the place. And Sagges are, you know, jack of all trades, master of none. But Sagges can be very kind-hearted and very honest. Brutal honesty is what you value above all else. You like a partner you can be social with because your Venus is in the first house and you probably love socializing. Let's see, what else can I tell you? You have Sagittarius rising, so that puts Gemini on your descendant. You are somewhat non-committal in many ways. You're a non-committal God damn you! No, it's not. you know that song, Don't Fence Me In?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, that is the theme song for Sagittarius. My moon and Venus are in Sagittarius, so I'm a bit of a player and non-committal myself. But you are definitely non-committal. You know what? And also, your descendant, Mercury being the ruler of your descendant, and again, that's the cusp of the seventh house, which is partnerships, that being able to communicate with a partner is of extreme importance. So somebody who's extremely intelligent, witty, who has a rapier wit, that is very interesting to you in a series. Like, if you can't communicate or if the chick isn't brainy, you're not interested. That's just the way it goes. And just so we're clear, Andrea, the only shot you have with a man is getting an emotional connection. A lot of women think, you know, getting the out right away. No. Because guys, it's just like exercise for them. Honestly, most men, right? Am I right? Okay. Yeah. Chris confers. But if you can get an emotional connection where they feel that they really need you emotionally and they want you emotionally, that's the only shot. Because like between the mind and the penis of the man is the heart. Okay. So unless you have that,
Gotta get the impact. And a lot of women think they have to be perfect on the first date. Guys, they don't. It's not about perfect.
Oh, well, I've already married really not past perfect. That.
Okay, it's not about perfection, about getting emotional connection. You know, being real and real, you know, and see, a lot of women make the mistake of talking about themselves and what they want in a relationship, and then a guy will just go, yeah, yeah, I want that, sure. You know, like a guy will say, sure, on the first date, I like soup, and then later after you get married, I don't like soup. What are you talking about? You know, so they just kind of listen to what you
like
say.
Soup?
But you know what
like
I mean? They listen to what you say. So it's very important to pay attention to what the man actually says and to try to get him to talk on the first, because women generally are the chatty Cathys or the talkers, so it's better to understand. So anyway, back to his moon position. So you definitely want an intellectual woman. You have a tendency to intellectualize your emotions. Okay. You have an interesting thing. You have your moon conjunct Jupiter. So working with women in some way, or women on your path somehow. And, you have a moon Pluto conjunction. Ooh, you're very intense. That's almost like having moon in Scorpio. You are a little paranoid, pal. Yeah. It's a little paranoid. Okay. Did you have a really intense mom?
Well, I'm Chinese.
What does that mean?
I had a tiger mom.
Oh, you had a tiger mom. Okay.
Yeah.
So you had a very, very, very intense mom, a very intense relationship with your mom. So you're looking for a very intense relationship with a romantic partner. Whether you like it or not, that's kind of like what you do.
Okay, so you have a feel for this now. We had a great time. And the astrology thing felt a little spot on, kind of funny at times. And now we're back to the studio.
Why am I doing any of this?
Why are you doing any of this? I have no idea.
I don't know. Well, the astrologer did say this, right? Like, one of the things that, you know, for when I'm looking at, like, someone who I think I could be with, right? One of the things is that I actually really like being supportive of people, right? Like, I don't want to support someone, but I like to be supportive of, like, the things that they're into. So I guess that's
What's going on?
I'm willing to get weird with you.
The other thing that, that's true. But then I think our second date did the exact same thing, where I felt like at some point during our second date, we came to a point of negotiation where I was like, this is my stuff. And you were like, this is my stuff. Yeah. And we had to figure out if we could see our stuff lining up.
Right.
Before our stuff had even like rubbed against each other.
Right. Right.
Our second date was on Valentine's Day.
Right. And I made like a... super posh Valentine's Day dinner reservation for us.
At my favorite restaurant, White Castle. I don't know what went. I tried. I was so close to canceling.
Well, so it was.
Because I was really freaked out.
Yeah, it was last minute, right? We were supposed to actually hang out the day before. And then I couldn't go. And then I actually had the White Castle reservation already.
Who are you going to take? If it wasn't me.
Unclear. Right. And I didn't.
You have a whole Rolodex.
I hadn't really thought it through. I just had always wanted this reservation. And so I made it. And then I figured I could take care of the details later.
You just happened to make the reservation a 10-minute walk from where I live.
They were. That was all White Castle, right? They were the Manhattan and Williamsburg branches were actually full. No one is going to believe this story at all, right?
No, because like if you put it on paper, it's like
it's super fishy.
It was Valentine's Day.
Yeah, it was fishy.
It was at a fast food restaurant, and it was a 10-minute walk from where I live. You did not look good when I explained this to people.
Do you believe me?
I do. I really do. And I was really blown away by how passionate you are, like how long you've been working to get a reservation on Valentine's Day for a White Castle.
It had been like, I don't know, like probably something like 7 years or something like that.
This has been a dream of yours.
It's been a dream of mine.
And we were able to actually, and then I was so amazed, but it was so fun.
Yeah, actually it was a ton of fun, but you apparently wanted to cancel.
I did want to cancel.
What was freaking you out?
Well, I just started dating this other guy.
Yeah.
Just like, I think it's a real thing that happens when you're dating. It's like you can meet someone and they're great, but then you have other great people like still lined up.
Yeah.
So I just started dating this guy, and I kind of felt like it
could get serious or serious-ish at some point. And he'd sent me this email that was like explaining his plans for the weekend. And he was like, yeah, you know, I'm totally free on Valentine's Day, except I think I'm just going to stay at home by myself and listen to some noise music and read existential poetry about the impossibility of love. And I was like, is he saying he wants to hang out or not? Right. I can't tell. Right.
Did you ask him about it? Was he asking you to hang out?
No, I didn't. I never found out. Instead, I had plans with you and then and felt weird about the whole of it.
Yeah, I don't think you were completely honest with me going into that, right? Because none of this had come up at the time.
Do you feel like I was obligated to be honest with you, that I had met someone that I felt like I could see myself with?
No, I don't. But I do think that you kind of like skirted around it a little bit. And I feel like if you were going to say it anyway, if you're going to like bring it up in this sort of like, I don't know, kind of like innocuous way, I think it would have been nice if you had just said it, right? So you could either just not bring it up at all.
But isn't the assumption that everyone has like five people on their back burner or something? Tell me if I'm wrong. I need to know if I'm wrong.
Well, I think it was our second date. So obviously we were dating.
You don't owe anyone anything at that point.
Right.
And, you know, the reality is that the guy I was dating could have disappeared at any moment. But just because I had strong enough feelings that I was contemplating canceling. But at the same time, I feel like you didn't get a fair shot on that date because I'd met this person who I had these strong feelings for.
Yeah, I think that. So I don't think we had a ton of fun. But I don't think as a date it was a very good date. And I think partially it's due to this now that I'm hearing about it.
My heart wasn't in it.
It wasn't.
Like I wasn't trying to impress you.
No, you weren't. Your perfume that night was deodorant.
Are you kidding me?
I don't mean to say that that every woman should wear perfume all the time. But I think if you're on a second date and you're interested in someone, right? You try a little bit. and so I think it would, you know, sort of became.
I put on makeup on my face.
You didn't. You actually went out of your way to tell me that you weren't going to wear makeup to White Castle. I remember that. You're like, I'm not wearing makeup tonight.
Well, when I spilled a drink on myself, I changed my dress.
You did. And yeah, I guess I appreciate that. but no, yeah, your heart wasn't in it. I think I felt a little bit also like
what?
Well, you weren't really asking anything about me. I felt like we talked about you a lot.
You weren't offering anything about you. I would ask you a question like, so where did you grow up? And you would answer quickly and then say, and then change it back to me.
I think I need to be like coaxed into like, you know, like a more like a narrower line of like, right? That's too broad for me. Where are you from? I'm from Colorado. I was getting the feeling that you were like, you were being like a little self-absorbed, but I don't mean to say that you are actually self-absorbed. I think that, I think it makes a lot more sense now that I have some context for it, but I do. I mean, I appreciate that you actually still went on the date with me.
You know, it would have been really unethical for me to cancel on day of, right?
I don't know.
I feel like there's Valentine's Day put everything at like weird stakes.
I think things were already pretty weird.
Well, this is the effect. You know what happened to me after the astrologer date is like coming out of the astrologer date. I was like grinning ear to ear. Like I felt like I could see this future with you because she told the story of us, like the story where we were allies, where we supported each other. She said everything that we do that like lines up and everything we do that we could work on.
Right.
And it was like this picture of a partnership. And it was really I was like drunk on that idea. But then this other relationship just grew much stronger really fast. And I didn't know where to place that. I couldn't, like, the astrologer just felt, like, weird and out of context for me.
Yeah. Well, the hardest thing, I think, about that date for me was we did have a pretty like serious makeout session. But you did tell me that like we weren't going to hook up, but you did say that it was because like of your show and not, I think I would have appreciated a little bit more, you know, that it was actually about another person. Cause that's like a lot easier to understand, I think.
Cause I kept on saying it's cause I'm busy. It's cause I'm busy.
You did. And you like, you said some pretty direct things to me.
Like what?
Like towards the end when we were like going to leave we went to a bar after, and towards the end, you know, I was saying, let's get you home. And you were like, okay, well, I just want to like tie up this loose end. And you're like, I can see something like this turning into something regular and being something casual. And you're like, you actually said, we're definitely going to f-. Which I think is like, you know, if you hear that, it's right. I'm not going to start betting on that pony, but like, there's something about hearing that. And then, you know, now later hearing that, like, there was a completely different, like there were a lot of different, things going on for you when you said that. So I think that was like a little bit, you know, I think part of me felt a little bit played, you know, cause I, you know, there's a tendency, I'd only gone on 2 dates with you. And like, you know, there might be this sort of like this tendency to think like, you know, maybe she actually really is just interested in this as a show.
It was never about the show. I wouldn't have said that. Like, I would never say that to a guy if I didn't really believe it in the moment. But I'm also not like enlightened enough that I don't lie to myself sometimes.
Yeah, no, I think we all do. I mean, and I lied to myself that night, right?
When we were talking, we encountered some things that didn't line up about who we are.
Yeah.
and there were some things that I was like, that didn't line up. And then I was like, that's no big deal to me. That's a small thing. That's not a thing.
Yeah. But it was still a thing.
But it was a thing.
Right.
But like, I was able to like shut that thing down in my head that night.
Yeah. And I think that there was, you know, I up until the point where in the date where you told me that you weren't looking for anything serious with me, I wanted to be with you. And so the biggest regret that I had from that date was that I wasn't really honest, you know, with either of us about what, you know, this alternative approach could have been.
Alternative approach meaning friendship.
Right. You know, we like all the.
I have to go back. I can't believe you ever saw something long-term romantic with me.
Well, of course I did.
Like, I never read that in you.
No, of course I did. You know, when we were getting to know each other over, like, you know, like, the messages and stuff, like, it's obvious that, like, that we think about things a lot, like, very similarly. Right? Like, at least career-wise, you know, neither of us is doing what we do because we're, like, chasing, like, fame or money, right? You do things because you actually really believe in them. So you are... Like, you're not doing a show to be famous. You're going to be famous. But, like, that's not why you do it, right? You do it because you enjoy, I think, because you enjoy, like, giving people the sort of feeling that, like, there's hope out of all of this. You know, it's like, do you know who Alfred de Musset is?
Mm-mm.
So he's, like, he was this French playwright. And he's got this play called Don't Fool with Love. And there's this part in it where he's talking about how, like, all guys are despicable and all women are, like, cunning and depraved. And that, like, the world is this really messed up place. And, like, in that place, the only thing that we consider holy is, like, the union of these, like, two otherwise, like, flawed creatures. And so he's got this part where he says, you know, we're often deceived. We're often hurt and unhappy, but we love. And when we stand at the edge of our graves, we turn around to look backwards and we say to ourselves, you know, I suffered often. I was sometimes mistaken, but I loved. And I lived not some being, you know, fabricated from my own pride and boredom. And I think, like, that's your show to me, right? Your show is not about the guarantee of finding love and love that, you know, finding love making you happy, right? the value of all of this is that you're just giving yourself the opportunity to find it, right? And like, that's the actual, you know, giving yourself the chance to find these things is what people should actually like be happy about. And like, you get that, right? You get that you're not a dating expert. You get this, right? Like, your show is on, you know, you get that it's much bigger than this. And it's like, why, like, how could I not want to be friends with someone that, you know, sees the world in that kind of way? And so, of course, if I'm like, if you're someone that I feel like I could be like really good friends with, and then you show up and you're shockingly beautiful, like, of course I'm going to feel like I could see, you know, some kind of future.
I would be so mad at me because I would feel like I haven't treated you with the respect that you deserve.
I don't think that's true, though. I think
you're a victim of me lying to myself. I don't think I did anything intentionally maliciously, but I do think at some, like, at the end of that second date, I kind of said, wait till March. I'll be ready for you in March. And I was, like, banking on this other guy just, like, totally bailing out on me. And when that didn't happen, I was really surprised. The other thing is that you deserve better than a girl who's, like, asking you to go on hold until she knocks off this one guy.
No, but, you know, I think the thing is, it's not, it's, in a way, it's actually kind of flattering, right? That you put enough trust in me to, like, to believe that, like, I could accept what you're saying and deal with it in, like, a rational way.
You're not, like, I feel like men often are so, like, emotionally stunted. Like, where it's like I'm dealing with a teenager. And I feel like you have, like, the adult level of self-esteem and, like, communication abilities where I can just be honest with you.
Well, I think that this is why, you know, I feel like we're getting to a place where it would mean a lot to me, like, if we could be friends. You know, and I don't think that there's some of your listeners are going to be like, that's a desperation move. And I think you're still a little bit skeptical too. And I think
I think you have
a reason to be, right? Like, you don't have any actual reason to trust me on this.
Well, you have no actual reason to want to be my friend.
I just listed a lot of reasons for why I would want to be your friend. I don't know.
I believe that you want to be my friend. And I think everyone in my life is going to believe why you want to be my friend. It's just incredible that we're there. It just feels like a superpower. I don't know if you've ever, like, have you ever had a threesome?
Yes. I feel like I shouldn't even actually answer this question. I don't know why I led with yes, but okay.
Let's just assume.
I'll bite.
Okay. Let's just assume that you've had a threesome before. Because I have too. And at the end of it, you're like,
yeah.
I can't believe I have, like, the superpower of communication and honesty and trust with everyone involved. It just feels insane that right. It's able to even happen because it just feels so like you're told by every idea of what love and relationships and sex are. That this is impossible. So right. You get there and you're like, I have superhuman communication powers.
Right.
That's how I feel about us being friends. It feels like we're getting away with the threesome.
No, I think that's right. I think the ones that I've been in have been very, like, you feel really empowered to be able to walk away from a situation that should be super weird and super awkward, but being able to walk away from it in a way that, you know, like a mature adult, like, can.
And the other thing that happens there is, like, you're super bonded with everyone involved.
Right.
Because you were able to go through this, like, adult exchange. So it's like, I feel superhuman bonded to you that we've been able to enter friendship successfully. I think it makes our friendship that much more awesome.
Yeah, and I think that there's, you know, probably one of the more unfortunate constructs, like, social constructs in dating, especially I think for guys, is this idea that, like, being in the friend zone is, like, something that you're supposed to be ashamed of. Right, it's like, you know, you should view it as some kind of failure. But I think that, like, we're perfectly capable of, you know, as, like, mature adults, of recalibrating our feelings for other people. And we do this all the time, right? This is like, if I have a student that isn't learning what I'm teaching, I don't write them off as an unteachable student. You know, I try to figure out, I recalibrate and I think about how can I connect with this person in a different way or on a different level. And I think that it's not crazy to think that you can apply that same kind of, you know, rational thinking to, I mean, I wouldn't have wanted to date you, right? I wouldn't want to be with you if I didn't actually think you were cool. And I think there's that natural tendency, obviously, when you meet someone that is, you know, physically attractive and is super cool, right? The natural tendency is to be like, yeah, I can have it all. And then when you realize you can't have it all, I think the natural tendency is to just walk away. But, you know, I think I realized that the stakes with you are a lot different than other girls that I've dated. And I think that, you know, it doesn't make sense to walk away just because we're not going to sleep together.
To help me sum everything up, I turned to YOY's staff Smarty, dating researcher Holly Wood. I asked if she thought male-female friendship is possible.
Like, as I get older, and I can't imagine this is not true for a lot of people, as you get older, just sex just becomes less and less important. Like, it's still really important in the sense of, like, this is still a desire and a drive that I still need to satisfy and all these things, but it doesn't become this preoccupying motive for my, like, life choices anymore. It's sort of like, okay, I could get sex. If that's what I really wanted, I could get sex. But you know what I don't really get often is intellectual conversation. And so when I meet a guy who, you know, let's use this term, arouses me mentally, I might not want to have sex with him. I might not want to have a romantic relationship with him at all, right? But I really, really like his brain, and I really like being around his brain. And I've had this happen to me, and it happened to me relatively recently. And it's just really interesting to me. Like, that's the dynamic of friendship for us, and that's what I really like about him. And everybody's, you know, has this opinion of, well, he wants to do you then. If you don't want to do him, the only reason you guys are friends at all is because he wants to do you. That's the only way it works. And I said, I doubt that. I doubt that very much. I think that as you get older, more and more people enter your lives that are like this, right? Like, that just have this mind connection with you that you enjoy. And sex just isn't as important anymore. It's just, I can't imagine women after 35 are still going around being like, oh my God, I just want to have sex with him. I don't know.
Yeah, mind connection. That's like the most beautiful thing I've been thinking. That's such a beautiful thing to think about.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with our physical bodies. Like, if I never physically saw him again, I still feel like our friendship could go on. Like, I don't feel like it's necessary for us to occupy physical bodies for us to have our friendship. So it has nothing to do with who wants to bone who. And I think that might be true for a lot of my friends, actually, now that I think about it. Now that we're all disembodied internet creations that are transmitted via smartphones. Like, what does the body have to do with the friendship exactly?
I've been trying to describe what that thing is when you meet someone and you're like, we're going to be friends. And you mean it. You're like, this is really a thing, and it's not going anywhere because I feel this, because you say things and I find them so interesting, and I want you to keep saying things that I find interesting.
Exactly. I feel like maybe when we were younger, we discounted that. Like, we were like, oh, this person says something interesting, but everybody says something interesting to me. I'm 19. Like, but as you get older, you realize more and more people are actually pretty boring, and the vast majority of people are kind of assholes. So, like, when you meet somebody who really excites you in that way, you hold on to them, and it has nothing to do with whether or not you want to them. It's just like your mind needs that social connection. When this person understands me, this person says interesting, relevant things, I want to keep them in my life because I like how their brain works.
So true. Oh, Chris and I are going to be friends. You agree. It's possible.
I think it's possible. I think it's more than possible. And I think it comes down to two is, like, as you get older, your whole life circle, like, you know, it topples up and down. It goes up and down, right? Like, you lose a lot of friends, you gain a lot of friends. And there are moments in our lives where we just don't have many people to talk to. And it just might be that he's in a moment right now where he doesn't have that many people to talk to, and he really likes you. And it has, you know, he doesn't have to keep pursuing a relationship with you to want to keep talking to you.
So his moon is in your first house. That means he can't help but, like, boost you up. like emotional ambivalence, you know, like he's you lift me up, whatever that song is. So anyway, so he just really he can't help but be supportive of you.
It's true. It's already
he
true.
He approves of almost everything about you. I mean, it's just like he digs on you.
Holy f- cow! I'm so glad you're in my life.
Me too.
It's really insane, yeah. And gonna keep you there. And
thanks yeah. for trusting me.
Oh, it's so easy. I like this is okay. So I'm not a dating advice person.
Yeah.
And I'm obviously really bad at dating, as we've gone over in this episode. But my one piece of dating advice over and over is like, if there's something you want to say, like over say it, like over communicate. Yeah. And we've done that every step of the way. We've been like, I right. feel this over and over and over again.
Yeah. I think it helps that we started off in a place where we were just sharing like much more intimate details with each other than we would normally share with regular people.
Yeah, I think the astrology session definitely yeah. helped. Thank you for coming on my show, Chris.
Thank you for having me.
You can follow Chris at CHRSWNG on Twitter. La la la, la la
la la la la. He got a chemistry set in his pocket, and he carries it round and round. He carries your heart around in a locket, and his love it is so profound. I said, now E.T., me, believe in me.
This is WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope in Rockland County at 91.9 FM and online, WFMU.org.
Hi, Dave Emery here, side one of For the Record program number 778, the OUNB file, part two. This is being recorded on March 2nd of the year 2014. In this program, we are going to continue to flesh out the historical background and political nature of the OUNB. That is the parent organization and the direct organic, so to speak, influence on the militant forces in the Ukrainian opposition. Those militant forces, chiefly Svoboda, S-W-O-B-O-D-A or S-V-O-B-O-D-A, depending on the article, and the Pravi Sektor or Right Sector, that's P-R-A-V-Y-S-E-K-T-O-R, as well as a whole lot of other organizations are the direct descendants of the OUNB, a Ukrainian fascist organization that was an ally and a tool of the Third Reich, as we looked at in, For the Record, 777 and in other programs as well. After the formal cessation of hostilities in Europe after World War II, the OUNB, which had formed itself like a number of other Third Reich allies into guerrilla groups, continued to wage guerrilla war in the Ukraine, and as well as other groups waging guerrilla war in parts of the former Soviet Union until the early 1950s. As we looked at in 777, the guerrilla warfare really constituted a continuation of the combat of World War II, only the combatants basically, in effect, switched uniforms from the Third Reich to the Office of Policy Coordination under Frank Wisner, which was a subsidiary organization of the CIA. That material was taken from AFA program number one, recorded 30 years ago in the spring of 2014. Then inside two of 777, we took a look at the assassination of Stefan Bandera, the head of the OUNB. The OUNB, by the way, was helped to staff SS and Gestapo units, as well as the Einsatzgruppe Nightingale. The Einsatzgruppen were the Nazi mobile killing squads that performed much of the dirty work, so to speak, on the Eastern Front in World War II. Stefan Bandera was murdered on October 15th of 1959, the same day that Lee Harvey Oswald traveled to Switzerland, from where he went to the former Soviet Union, allegedly defecting. In fact, Oswald was a U.S. intelligence officer after he came back from the former Soviet Union. He was infiltrated into a number of leftist organizations and then framed for Kennedy's killing and murdered before he had a chance to defend himself. The actual killing of Stefan Bandera, which again occurred the day that Lee Harvey Oswald, quote, defected, unquote, appears to have been performed by underground Reich elements, either BND and or perhaps some element of CIA or other underground Reich-associated elements. Bogdan Stashinsky, the alleged assassin, still had a broken key, the other half of which was still in the lock of Stefan Bandera's apartment 2 years later. And there are a number of other very fishy aspects to that official version. However, we noted in For the Record, or AFA rather, program number 15, excerpted into side two of FTR 777, that elements associated with the underground Reich, the BND, the anti-Bolshevik Bloc of Nations, elements of CIA and others, went out of their way, elements basically that were to coalesce into the what was known as the World Anti-Communist League. They went out of their way to link the assassination of Stefan Bandera, allegedly by the KGB, to the assassination of John F. Kennedy. And Lee Harvey Oswald was made out to have been a trainee of the very same program that trained Bogdan Stashinsky, the assassin or apparent assassin of Stefan.